So can you please introduce our second guest who's waiting in the studio?
Of course. I am very pleased to welcome Arpita Jindani to our segment today. Arpita is the manager for education and training at Rutgers Global Health Institute. Her educational background is in social work and health communication. Arpita has a very broad experience in many areas of health communication. She has worked at the Tuberculosis Institute in Newark and for almost a decade at the Maternal and Child Health Consortium in North Jersey before she started her position at the Global Health Institute. What I found very fascinating about her is also that in addition to English, she also speaks four Indian languages.
Wow.
So she can speak in Hindi, Bangla, Marathi, and Marwari, which is more of a dialect, but I was really impressed. Very impressed, Arpita.
Really?
So, Arpita.
Yeah, that's amazing, Arpita.
So, Arpita, can you share with the listeners the focus of your position at Rutgers Institute of Global Health before the pandemic?
Sure. First, I would like to say namaste, EBC radio listeners. Apni kemon achen, kasakai, Marwari Marathi speakers, and really happy to be sharing my work with you guys. So I'm very passionate about what I do at the Global Health Institute, and all our team is very energetic. So you probably hear that from my voice and my excitement. So I wanted to talk a little bit about our mission at the Global Health Institute. Our mission is basically to improve the health of the most vulnerable populations and to develop solutions to these concerns. A lot of times, you know, when you work in sort of arena of global health, what is lost is that the organization is just doing the work themselves. But what we are focused on is not just us doing the work, but training future leaders in global health. And that is where we'll be bridging the gap. So we're very proud of that. We have a very active student council, and we do a lot of collaboration across the university at Rutgers. So one thing I also wanted to draw attention to for the listeners. You know, as you say in Hindi, like, logo ko ek galat fehmi hai ki global health ke liye America chhod ke ya apna desh chhod ke bahar jana padega. And that's what I want to reintroduce, the idea that global health is very much at home. Things that we can do for our communities. You don't really have to be plugged into an, you know, international program. So I do want to debunk the myth that global health initiatives are not just abroad initiative, you know, study abroad initiatives. COVID-19 is a perfect example of how we all as a community learn to engage in global health work. And we are all doing the work locally, and we are trying to address the global health concern.
Fantastic, Arpita. And this is great. First of all, again, I would like to welcome you again on EBC Radio. And it's amazing to see that you speak so many different languages and you understand our community so well. So now my question, how did the pandemic change your job duties and the direction of your work?
Definitely. Since this group, you know, we've been talking about diabetes, I can talk a little bit about how we pivoted from diabetes to something very broad. Mm-hmm. So before the pandemic, we were working to address diabetes, which we identified as a real health concern in New Brunswick. And of course, Shailaja can talk a lot about that on that topic. She's very well experienced in that arena. So we had identified that as a major health concern based on a conversation with the local federally qualified health center, you know, EBC, Eric B. Chandler Health Clinic, and then University Behavioral Healthcare Center. So we formed a team, and we called it the Enhancing Care Team, where you don't just have clinicians, but you have a broad spectrum of people. So we had people from food, you know, I would say partners from food banks, in addition to clinicians, local organizations such as New Brunswick Tomorrow, Elijah's Promise is a food bank in New Brunswick. And we also had the Hip Hop Promise Clinic, which is for the homeless. And our meeting was scheduled for March 24th. So this was a labor of love. We started the planning in fall of 2019. And, of course, we all know what happened by March 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Things moved very fast with COVID-19. And we all went virtual on March 16th. So our meeting on March 14th did happen, but virtually And the big decision we made as a team is, we call it a big pivot. We decided we have to address the elephant in the room. You know, agar haathi samne khada hai to idhar udhar nahi dekh payenge, haathi ko hi dekhna padega. So and that haathi was, that elephant was COVID-19. Cool. Mm-hmm. So we switched our focus from diabetes to addressing community health needs in New Brunswick.
Fantastic. And yeah.
I can talk more about what community needs we identified, or I'll
please.
Let you.
Yeah, go ahead.
So again, the community needs have changed as the pandemic has evolved. So in March, the immediate community needs were food insecurity, and that still is valid across the board, right? Everyone gets notifications. We all read in the news, food banks, the lines are getting longer. The access to medication that patients and community members, that's for someone who has diabetes, you know, we all know they need to be able to control their diabetes. They need their prescription medication. And if they don't have the ability to pay for it, how would they go about it? So people have to make decisions on, well, should I be choosing healthy food options or pay for my medication or pay for my rent? These are very difficult decisions to make, and it makes us uncomfortable, but we all need to talk about it and address it head on.
True. So, Shelja?
Yeah. So, Arpita, can you tell our listeners what COVID-19 efforts are you and your institute currently focused on at this time?
Certainly. So I can give you a little background of what we did in April. So our institute, our director is Dr. Richard Marlink, a phenomenal clinician and just very community-focused. And so we joined the NORC COVID-19 Task Force in end of April. We were approached by the city of NORC, and we sort of helped them kickstart the contact tracing training process. You know, the initial first training is what we held. And then at Rutgers, now, as you all have probably read in the news, Rutgers has partnered with, in Rutgers, specifically Rutgers School of Public Health has partnered with the state of New Jersey to launch a community contact tracing program. So what are we currently doing? So we have two streams of work. One is international work and domestic work. And domestic work is jo work hum log New Jersey mein karte hain, and of course international work, you know, is work abroad. So for international, we are very invested in Botswana because we have an MOU. Rutgers has a memorandum of understanding with Ministry of Health in Botswana, and we've been providing remote webinars for Ministry of Health in Botswana to distribute COVID-19 guidance, to answer questions. And the way the setup in Botswana is, there are a lot of regional centers from remote districts. So I think everyone can picture, you know, how we have it in India, right? Like chote chote gaon and then one big city. But India, there are many big cities. Here, Habaruni is the bigger city. So from there, the coordination is happening. And that's sort of helping the remote regions to learn COVID-19 guidance. And in terms of local efforts, our whole focus of what we do, and we think, speak, breathe health inequity. So we're focused on reducing COVID-19 inequity among minority businesses and vulnerable communities. We know, you know, big companies, corporations, businesses, they will probably get in consultants, how to restart their business, find a way. But what about the small corner bodega? Or what about, you know, a small grocery store owner who is not fluent in English? Who would be helping them? So we are working on developing a training program to support small businesses who may not have the resources and support they need. And, of course, we want to make this training program available and free of cost. And we also want to include, in addition to businesses, nonprofits such as churches or temples. And we continue to be involved in the Healthier Middlesex Coalition, which is based in New Brunswick. And we are trying to address local needs for COVID-19 through that.
That is so nice, Arpita. I mean, really, you're doing such a great job for the community. Listeners, this is CBC Radio, and we are talking to Arpita Zindani and Shailja Mathur, and we are discussing on South Asians managing diabetes during the COVID-19 pandemic. And Shailja, would you have another question for Arpita?
Yes, before I move to the next question, Arpita, I wanted you to mention, you know, I read about how you had gotten the student council members and the Healthier New Middlesex Coalition when this pandemic first came and you were distributing food. Was that initiative part of the work that you did in the beginning?
So we were not involved in the food initiative. What we were involved in was we identified the needs, and what food pantries needed was a lack of volunteers. So that's where a student council came in, because, you know, a lot of the volunteers for Meals on Wheels are seniors, right, retired folks. And with COVID-19 pandemic, they're high risk. So a lot of their volunteer force that those food delivery services had, you know, for needy folks, it sort of vanished suddenly. So we went to a student council and we put out an ask, and a lot of students were able to volunteer. A lot of some student council members also assisted with making face shields. Somebody who had an interest in 3D printing did that. So I can't pinpoint one issue, but you need to look at the full picture, and wherever there was a need, we were on it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Shailja, I want to just quickly announce one thing. Listeners, I know some calls are coming in the studio and I'm not able to pick them up as we are talking to two guests in the studio right now through the phone lines. So they can send their questions to about-diabetes@rutgers.edu. Please go ahead and send your questions to about-diabetes@rutgers.edu. And I'm sorry, the calls I could not pick up as we have our guest on the phone lines. Go ahead, Shailja.
So, Arpita, what would you tell someone who gets a call from a contact tracer? Because I know that as we are reopening New Jersey, this is an important project. And what should they expect when they get a call, a contact tracer call?
And let's keep it a little brief.
Okay, sure. Shailja, great question. So I want to talk briefly about contact tracing. A lot of people think that contact tracing is a new thing, but contact tracing is actually an age-old perfected technique. We know TB has been around since the Egyptian mummies, so contact tracing has been around for a long time as well, not that long. But I worked at the Global Tuberculosis Institute in the past, and the concept of contact tracing is basically being used for COVID-19. And the idea is that if you can gather information on who possibly got infected, you can prevent the spread of the disease. And what is important for people to know is if you were a contact to somebody who was infectious, you would want to know that. You would want to know that you were exposed to somebody so that you can seek treatment if needed. You can get tested if needed. So it's definitely important for you to know. Also, if you have underlying health conditions, again, going back to diabetes, or somebody who's immunocompromised, you may be at higher risk. And then you could infect others in your family, you know, if you have young children, somebody else who's high risk. So it's certainly a very important public health effort. I do want to mention questions we get, you know, when we have a community.
Arpita, we are running out of time. I'm sorry.
Okay, sorry.
Just in 30 seconds give us your last statement on this show?
Okay, sure. So as a public health professional, I believe that prevention is better than cure. Your health is most important investment for you. So please take care of yourself. Be healthy. And if you're on Twitter, you can find me at Arpita Jindani. And looked up, there's only one Arpita Jindani. Namaste. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, Arpita, for coming on the radio. And I hope to have you more often. And Shailja, your closing statement and the announcement for the next guest, please.
Sure. As we close today's show, you know, I want to provide reassurance again that people living with diabetes are not at higher risk of getting COVID-19. But they are at higher risk with outcomes. So it is very important that you keep your blood sugar in control and carefully follow your food, exercise, and medicine routine. Remember to go find our videos on YouTube and watch them. And our next speaker for Wednesday, July 1st, is Dr. Reema Patel. She's the medical director from the Joslin Diabetes Center. Do not forget to tune in at 4:30 p.m. Be safe, everyone. Remember to social distance, wear a mask, and like Arpita said today, your health is the most important investment. So take care of yourself in this unprecedented time.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you, Shailja. Thank you, Arpita. And looking forward to have you next Wednesday again. Thank you.
Thank you both. Thank you.
Thank you.